You may be seated. This is the last service of 2019. We will be having a New Year's service this coming Wednesday night, so I encourage you to come out for that. I want you to know that I did mess up the third verse of that song, and partially intentionally because Lydia's not here and Sarah's filling in for her. I just wanted to see if she'd follow my mess up, but she didn't. So anyway, thankful for Sarah being able to be there and filling in when Lydia's sick. Do pray for her. Pray for Sister Noelle. She was in the ER this past week, and she's still having some pain, so do pray for her. I know she appreciates it. There's others within our congregation that are sick, and we do want to lift one another up in prayer. At this particular time, as we approach God's Word, I remember reading something by Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon was a very famous preacher back in the 1800s, a Baptist preacher. And if I'm not mistaken, what I read was every time he'd get up to preach, he'd just about apologize because he knew he would not fully expound all the depths of God's Word that he was approaching. And oftentimes, as we approach God's Word, we do feel inadequate to proclaim such a glorious message. And God's Word is rich and it is very deep. And I pray that you would treasure it, that you would value the Word of God. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Titus chapter 3. And as you're turning to Titus chapter 3, what we read in verse 8 is a faithful saying. This is the fifth of five faithful sayings that the Apostle Paul writes. The word faithful saying means a trustworthy saying. It was a saying that was popular amongst early Christians, and they often said this one among another. Sometimes they sang it. Some of these faithful sayings were undoubtedly songs back in the early times of Christianity. But hear what they did. They would repeat it. They would memorize it. And they would sing it. I challenge you at the close of 2019, memorize more Scripture. Think more upon the Word of God. Repeat it. Make it a personal application in your own life. Verse 8 in chapter 3 in Titus says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men." Now, being this is the fifth of the five faithful sayings, I want to show you the other four, and I want you to reflect upon them. Look back in 1 Timothy, if you would, in chapter 1 and verse 15. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and down in verse 15 in the Word of God, we read there, "This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Here is a foundational statement. This is a statement concerning salvation. Salvation is based upon the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying, Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Here is the root of our salvation. It's not in anything we have done, but it's what's been done for us through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's all of grace, is what Paul is saying. I want you to notice a second faithful saying in 1 Timothy chapter 4. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, down in verses 8 and 9, the Word of God says, "For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." This is a trustworthy saying. And what this saying here does, it shows you the nature of our salvation. It actually shows the blessings of our salvation. The blessings that we have concerning salvation is in this life, but the blessings of the salvation is also in the life to come. It shows you the privileges that you have because Christ Jesus died for your sins. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 11, here is the nature of our salvation. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 11 says, "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we believe not, yet He abides faithful. He cannot deny Himself." Herein is the nature of our salvation. And what we read in Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8, what we see there is the outward show of our salvation. It's actually the fruit of our salvation. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works." The fruit of salvation is very simply good works. Now there is another faithful saying. It's found over in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and down in verse 1, the Word of God says, "This is a true saying," or a faithful saying, same word. "This is a faithful saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work." I'd like for us to focus upon Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. And there is that faithful saying, the fifth one. And what it does, it points us back to verses 3 all the way down to verse 7, which was what we looked at last Sunday. We look at verse 3, and what verse 3 tells us is what we were when we were sinners. Verse 3 tells us, "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish and disobedient and deceived, serving different lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful, and hating one another." This is what we were like before we came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us what sin does to a person's life. It deceives them. It fools them. It makes them fools. Sin makes people foolish. Sin causes disobedience. Sin is a cruel master. Sin hates. Sin desires the things that that you shouldn't desire. Sin ultimately destroys lives and relationships and homes. Sin is exceedingly sinful. And I'm afraid oftentimes we do not treat it as exceedingly sinful as it ought to be treated. It can be very devastating. We are born into this world as sinners, and therefore our nature is to sin. But what we see in verse 4 is what God has done for us when we were yet sinners. And what God has done for us, as we looked at last week, it says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." What God has done for us, He has shown pity toward us as sinners because we were helpless. There is nothing we could do to save ourselves. And God showed or displayed His love toward us. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, the Word of God tells us, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." The word "quicken" means to make alive. The Word of God is simply saying, "And you," this is talking about believers, "you hath He made alive." Let me tell you something. I have gone to two funerals just over this past week. And you know, the person that passed away, we talked about this as far as Jeannot and Jean-Louis down in the, they helped usher this morning. We talked about death a little bit. You know what? You can talk to a dead man. You can yell at a dead man to get up and do something, but the dead person is not going to do anything or respond. And likewise, in a spiritual sense, when one is dead, they cannot spiritually respond to God. The Word of God tells us, "You hath He quickened." Before you became a believer, God had to quicken you and give you life, because you were dead in your trespasses and sins, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's talking about unbelievers. You want to know why there's so much hatred and so much sin in this world? It's because the prince and power of the air, the spirit, that spirit is working in unbelievers' lives. Among whom also we, it says, Paul's including himself, before he became a believer, we all had our lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others are. But God. Here, Paul writes once again, but God. That conjunction that is like a hinge that turns that bad news into good news. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He has loved us with. Aren't you thankful that God's love, He is rich in mercy, He has shown His love toward us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And He's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Look what God has done for us. While sin had us defeated, God showed His love and mercy toward us. He has shown His grace toward us, as it says over in Titus. It tells us, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, it was not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's not by anything we could do to earn our way to heaven, but it's according to His mercy He saved us. You know what? You would not be saved unless God showed mercy. God displayed His mercy. His love appeared. And by His mercy, He saved us, is what the Word of God says, by the regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It was God who commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, is what the Word of God tells us. God showed His mercy. And when He showed His mercy, the Word of God says here in verse 5, He saved us. You see, before you became a believer, you were on your way to hell. You were dying and on your way to hell, and God intervened and saved your soul. You were born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the Word of God that endures forever. It's the Word of God, used by the Spirit of God, that gives life to that person before they become a child of God. That's all of the mercy of God. The Word of God tells us we must be born again. We must be made alive. We must be born from above. And this is the Spirit of God's work in an unbeliever's life. You remember what Jesus said over in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Now, what does that mean? It means that you're spiritually poor. It means, like that song says, nothing in my hand I bring. It's simply to the cross I cling. You are only saved by the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Listen to what it goes on to say over in Ephesians as I was reading it just a minute ago. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." It's not of works Same thing Paul's saying in Titus, lest any man should boast. It's not of works. It's not by your goodness and the things that you can do. But it's according to His mercy. It's according to His love that He saved us. It's according to His grace that He saved us. And what He has done, He has poured out His Spirit upon us, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, is what it says in verse 6. We have been filled with the Spirit of God as a child of God. We have been justified by His grace, as it says in verse 7. That means we're heirs of God. We're joint heirs with Christ, is what it says over in Romans chapter 8 around verse 17. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. What Christ has coming to Him, we're joint heirs. We have that coming to us also. Oh, that we could fully comprehend better and better and better and better what Christ has done for us. Now I want you to notice, Paul says in verse 8, this is a faithful saying. What is he talking about? That which he's already talked about in verses 3 through 7. This is faithful. Therefore, what you need to do because of this faithful saying, these things I will that you affirm constantly. What you need to do, you need to constantly confirm these things, that you are saved by grace through faith. That you're saved because of the mercy of God. That you were a sinner, but God's love was shown and displayed, and He had pity upon us and saved us. That you are justified. You have been born again. You need to remind yourself of those things. I find it very interesting here that Paul would say this because we've heard the gospel, but listen to what Paul says concerning that. These things I will that you affirm constantly. Affirm it over and over and over again. You should never tire of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. You should never grow tired of hearing the gospel of grace. You should never tire of hearing that you're justified by His grace. And the reason is because it says in verse 8, that they which had believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. As you repeat these things, as you reconfirm these things, as you affirm constantly these things, if you're a believer, here's what happens. You'll be careful to maintain good works. You're going to do good works, is what the Word of God says. We're going to devote ourselves to do good works. Listen to what the Word of God says back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God's already ordained the works that we are to do. It's what the Word of God says. We're His workmanship. Literally, that Greek word is poiema. We are His poiema that He has made unto good works. And now that He's ordained those good works, we are encouraged to walk in them. As a believer, and notice here what the Word of God tells us, those that are justified, those that He has shed His love upon, those who He has saved by His mercy, in verse 8, they are called believers. You know what that simply means? They have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. You know what? We owe it all to Him. But the only ones that are saved are those who are believers. Those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Once you believe in Christ, what happens is that old things pass away and behold, all things become new. In other words, what the Word of God is telling us in Ephesians 2:10 and also in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8, that we are to do good works. Good works do not bring grace, but your good works come from grace. The grace that God has shown toward me in changing my life leads me to do good works. And that should be the same for you. You should do good works because of the grace of God that has saved you. That's what Paul is pointing to here in verses 4 through 7. Look at what God's done for you. He has shown you His love and His kindness. He's shown you pity and compassion. He's shown you His love and His mercy. Now, you know what? You need to do the same. You think about that. That's a God-sized project. How can I love somebody who's unlovable? How can I love somebody that goes against my grain? Same way God has loved you. Listen to what the Word of God says over in Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And you remember, He has shed on us abundantly His Spirit. Therefore, He has poured in us the love of God that's filled up unto the brim and overflowing. And you know what that leads to? It leads to good works. You know what? A lost man cannot do good works. You might say, you know some lost people that do good works. Let me tell you, according to Scripture, a lost person does not do good works. There's always some type of ulterior motives or something else that's motivating them, self-glory or gain or whatever it might be. Good works. What are good works? Good works are works of obedience, works of love to Jesus Christ. An unbeliever does not love the Lord Jesus Christ. An unbeliever is not obedient unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Good works are deeds that are done out of gratitude, not for gain, but out of love for Him and for His glory. Why do we do good? That God might ultimately be glorified. And let me tell you, only believers here are exhorted to do good works. Notice what it says once again. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God, believers in what God has done for us, might be careful to maintain good works. I'm speaking only to believers right now. You are to maintain good works. You remember what Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 5, back in the Beatitudes? Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Here's the purpose of good works, is that God might get the glory. Shine. How do we show our faith? Listen to what it says just a couple books over in the book of James chapter 3 or chapter 2. In James chapter 2 and down in verse 18, yea, a man may say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. In other words, your faith is displayed by your works. We show that we have faith by doing good works. Now, the Word of God says in the latter part of verse 8, these things, these what? These good works that you are maintaining, these things are good and profitable unto all men. Your good works that you do to glorify God are profitable for everybody. Now let me just broaden your vision on that just a little bit. We are commanded to do unto others as others do unto you. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Think about that. We do good works. You know what? You get a blessing from doing good works. It's not that you're working for a blessing, but God blesses you in doing and helping others. It is good and profitable for all, even for self. It's good and profitable for others. As believers do good works, and as we do good works unto other good believers, no, there's no good, but good works, as we do the good works unto other believers, you know what? They receive a blessing. What does the Word of God tell us as far as concerning believers? How are we to do good works to others? Be ye kind one to another. That's a good work. We are to edify. What does it mean to edify? Edify, edifice is a building, so it means to build up. You're to construct that person's life. You're to be a help in encouraging them. Good works is taking the initiative and being an encouragement. The word that I had, and we mentioned this briefly in announcement this coming Wednesday, we want to focus upon one particular area of your life. That one word could capsulize where you would like to see growth in your life. And focus upon that one word throughout the year. This past year, I focused upon grace. I've not mastered that, so I'm going to focus on grace again. I'm going to give you my word in advance. As God's grace has been shown toward me, I want to be gracious and show grace to others. If someone has done me wrong, you know what I want to do? I want to show grace unto them. I want to speak with words of grace. I want to reach out to those who some people might think are unreachable. To those that are unlovable, I want to show grace to them. You know what? That's a work. That takes effort. It's a work. We're not saved according to works. Make sure you get this right. This is talking about once you are saved, you're a believer, you are to maintain good works. In other words, you're to work good works. You want to know what good works are? Listen to what it says in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and down in verse 20. What is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable unto God. If you do something good, a good work to glorify God, and somebody gets in your grill, and you take it patiently, notice what the Word of God says, it's acceptable unto God. Listen to what good works are over in the book of Galatians. Very simple display of works. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and temperance. You know what? These are works of the Spirit. And these are good works that need to be implemented through our lives into the lives of others. Now, I've mentioned to believers, mentioned to self, how we profit from good works. It's profitable and it's good for all is what the Bible says. That means it's also profitable for unbelievers. For people who are not believers in the grace of God and what Christ has done for us, when you do good works, what happens when you do good works unto lost people? It glorifies God. And ultimately, you know what? It may lead to salvation. You never know how far God will carry a good work. I have heard stories, and I can't think of a particular illustration, but something's right there in the back of my mind, and it gets lost back in there sometime. But I've heard how people have come to the Lord because of watching people's lives shine to the glory of God. By being kind when someone's hurting. By loving someone, maybe when they've lost a loved one. By reaching out into a lonely life and becoming a friend. The Word of God tells us, be careful to maintain good works. Let me throw in a little blurb right here. You can live your life and seek to glorify God, but you know what? All it takes is one bad work and you can destroy your reputation. How many ministers have I known, and will use the saying, run off with the secretary? Thank God I don't have a secretary. Other than my daughter, she's pretty much my secretary. But you know what? One bad work can ruin a person's testimony. That's why the Word of God is encouraging us and exhorting us to be careful to maintain good works, because they are profitable unto everyone. Warren Wiersbe, who passed away, I think it was just this past year or two, Warren Wiersbe said this, Baptist preacher, he was up, started in Northern Kentucky, the best way for a church to witness to the lost is through the sacrificial giving of members. The best way, New Life Baptist Church has to witness to the lost, is through sacrificial giving. It might be a kind gesture, a kind thought, a kind word, a kind deed, which may lead to the gospel. Are you being careful to maintain good works? The gospel is clearly presented in this passage of Scripture. And I pray that you are, as it describes in verse 8, one who has believed in God and what God has done through Jesus Christ, His Son, whom He sent to be a sacrifice for our sins, who died upon the cross, was buried and rose again, and lives today and promises He's coming again. Do you have faith in what God has done? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you turned from your sin? Have you trusted in His perfect sacrifice? And when He said on the cross, it is finished, your sins have been paid in full, do you believe in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ? If so, have you been maintaining good works? Oh, how I pray that our hearts are convicted and we will seek to serve the Lord more diligently as believers. And if you're lost and you've not been relying upon these faithful sayings, trustworthy sayings, oh, may you implement it in your life. May you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and simply you will be saved, born from above. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your precious Word, the power of Your Word, and Lord, the empowerment of Your Spirit taking Your Word and applying it to our hearts. Lord, You are exhorting Your people in this passage. You are exhorting Your people, not me. You are exhorting Your people to maintain good works. Lord, we've faltered and failed in many areas. We've not been obedient all the time in these areas. Lord, we pray that You'd help us to make these faithful sayings trustworthy sayings in our own personal lives. Lord, if there are those yet in their sins that have never publicly acknowledged You as Lord and Savior, Only You by Your Spirit can convince them of sin, can quicken them, and draw them to Yourself. May they repent and believe in Your glorious gospel of grace for Christ's sake. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of invitation. Come, ye sinners, poor and needy.